Heavenly Father, would you be present with us this morning in a real, tangible way? Show us your glory. Remove from our hearts or anything, Lord, that would obstruct your word from penetrating and changing and molding each one of us. Lord, as we talk today, as we have been talking about this important discipline of prayer, I pray that each one of us are convinced and convicted to make some change in our prayer life, in our relationship with you today. Lead and guide everything that is said that it might bring you the glory and honor you deserve. And please mold us, Lord. We give you the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as some of you know, we're in a prayer series called Prayer Is. This is the third week. The prayer book goes right along with the prayer series goes along with this little devotional workbook. Well, it's not a workbook. Actually, it's a devotional book. And these are outside in the Connection Center. We still have plenty read. Plenty, right, Keith? Yes, we still have plenty. So please, if you have not picked one up yet, go by the Connection Center, that long desk. Some of these will be on the desk. You know, move people out of your way. Say, I got to have one of those books. And everybody will just move like that, like parting the Red Sea. So grab one of these books before you leave today. And if you're just jumping in, this is week three. You know, just start from week three, go to the end, and then wrap around back to the beginning again. And so don't worry if you're a little bit behind. You can get caught up. The first week in our series, Keith preached the first 2 weeks. The first week was about prayer is a relationship. Prayer is our relationship with God. It's how we communicate, how we get to know Him and us to get to know Him better. Last week it was prayer is hindered by sin. And to be specific, prayer is hindered by unrepentant sin. And if you think about your own relationships with another person, if somebody has hurt you, they've done something wrong against you, guess what? It hurts your relationship. And when we live in unrepentant sin, that means we're not really sorry. You just want to continue to go on and live in this sin. Guess what? Unrepentant sin hinders our relationship with God as well. This week, prayer is done in faith and trust. And the theme for this entire series, as you guys have heard a few times, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is the theme for it says, then if my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. All of us know that this is true. For your own kids, you say, if you clean your room, then you can spend the night with a friend. As an adult, you know you go to work every day, and if you are faithful, if you're reliable, if you're professional, if you're a team player, maybe you'll get that promotion. God Himself said, if you humble yourself, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. God loves you. God loves you. And He wants to bless you. And God's love for you is not conditional. There's no if with God's love. But His blessing comes with a condition. So prayer is done in faith and trust. And this week, we're going to look at how we approach God with our petitions, with our needs, and with the needs of others as well. Now, a beautiful picture of this is seen in Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read this. Listen to this just really magnificent and beautiful picture of our privilege. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Now think about this incredible passage. Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest. He understands our weakness. To think about your own weaknesses. Jesus understands your weaknesses. He isn't holding them against you saying, well, his weak, that's just too much. We are allowed, we're actually encouraged to come boldly before him to seek his grace and his mercy. Now, here's the thing. If I believe this passage to be true, and if you believe this passage is true, why would you ever feel as though God is unapproachable? That your sins are just too, your guilt and your shame are just too much. I could never approach God. I am a sinner. You don't know the things that I've done, Mel. I could never approach him. Well, this is true. And it begs the questions, why aren't we and why don't we make more time to talk with our Heavenly Father? It's not that God's power is somehow lacking. It's not that his grace is somehow limited, like there's just a little bit of grace up there in heaven and he's just, you know, pouring it out just a little bit at a time. No, it's a vast reservoir. God's grace is unlimited. It can't be that he's unfaithful to hear us or forgive us or heal us or love us. This is why we need to know that prayer is done in faith and in trust. Because God loves you. He wants to hear from you and he wants to bless you. Jesus makes this very clear that our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in his love and unlimited in his power and his grace, wants good things for his children. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 9. Jesus said this about God our Father. He said, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" God delights. He delights in our asking because we are his children. It gives God joy that we depend upon him and go to him and ask him. His Father heart leaps for joy when we ask. And think about this. Just asking God for your daily bread. What does that reinforce? God, give me this day my daily bread. It reinforces a dependence that we have on God. It reinforces the idea that we are his children and that he is our provider. God wants to bless you. And he wants you to be dependent upon him. Yet somehow we view our problems as too insignificant. However, whether great or small, you are welcome to make your requests to our God. Just like a little child, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," or "Daddy, daddy, daddy, I want this," or "I need that." God wants us to be persistent in our asking. Just like we would want our own kids. If they really want something, they'll keep asking, won't they? This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 about this. He said, "And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." So why do we need to know that prayer is done in faith and trust? Why do we need to know this? We need to know this because if you don't believe that God loves you, you're never going to trust him. Consider this story about the Israelites. The Israelites had been freed from slavery in Egypt. They were being led through the desert by God through the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And naturally, taking a long trip with a couple million people and just countless animals and camels and whatever else, they would need food and water, right? Okay, well, let's read this account from Numbers chapter 20. It's on page 131 in your Bible. So, your Bible, page 131. If you're going to follow along. Numbers, page 131, chapter 20. Okay, I'm going to pretend to read from here, but actually I'm going to read this bigger font on my tablet. So. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to pretend at all. Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 2. There was no water. Oh, there's still a few people turning. There was no water for the people to drink at that place. So they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people blamed Moses and said, "If only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into this wilderness to die along with our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink." Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. The glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak over the rock, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock." So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it had been kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. "Listen, you rebels," he shouted. "Must we bring water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving them." Now just think about this story. The Israelites were in need, in genuine need of food and water. Yet they didn't trust God, and they didn't trust their leaders. They didn't have any faith that God really loved them and was going to care for them. So what did Moses and Aaron do? Naturally, they did what we should all do. They went to God in prayer. They humbled themselves face down before God. And God gave them the answer that they so desperately needed. Now, how did Moses respond to God's graciousness? This provision of water to this 2 million people or more was God's grace being demonstrated in the Old Testament. His outpouring of His love for them. Now, how did Moses respond to God's graciousness? He shouted, "Listen, you rebels." And he struck the rock in anger twice. And as a result of his sin, he and Aaron and all those in his generation were not able to lead the Israelites into the land that God had promised them. Now, what this story demonstrates is that if you don't believe that God loves you, you will never trust Him. And the only time that really gets tested is when times are difficult, when they're mourning, loss of job, loss of health. That's when you get tested. But God does not want His children, okay? He doesn't want us to live in fear, whether it's fear of starvation or fear of dehydration or death or health problems or loss of job or loss of a loved one. You name it. God does not want His people to live in fear. When you and I experience fear, it is meant to send us into the arms of our Savior. It's meant to send us into the arms of God, the one who created everything, who can meet your needs. God invites us to come to Him in prayer when anxiety threatens, and He promises us to give us peace, to restore peace in our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul said this. He said, "Don't worry about anything." Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. You can never wrap your head around this. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, God does not want you living in fear and anxiety. He wants you to trust Him and love Him, to put your faith in Him. Now, the result of prayer, okay, you're in need, you're in anguish, you have some need, and with all of your heart, you go before God and you say, God, meet this need. I need you. I surrender to you. I yield to you. I'm dependent upon you. When you give it all over to God, the result is you are filled with peace. It's a peace that this world cannot offer. The peace of God transcends all that we can understand. I mean, the greatest mind and the collection of the greatest minds that we could ever muster on this earth will never be able to comprehend the peace and the grace that God has for us. We need to know that prayer is done in faith and trust. We need to know it because if we don't believe that God loves us, we'll never trust Him. Now, in order for us to receive the things that we ask of God, we need to pray according to His will. Okay? To ask according to God's will is to ask for the very things that God wants for us. If you are starving, does God want you to starve? No. So if you ask for a provision for food, is God going to provide? Yes, He is. That's what His Word says. He knows you have a need. He loves you as His children. He's going to provide that need. Now, that's a simple way. You know, food, most of us aren't starving or don't struggle for food. But whether it's food or some other item, there are things that He knows that we need, things that He knows will be truly good for us. The riches of His grace that He desperately wants us to have. In 1 John 5, this is what it says. And we are confident. This is the confidence we can have. We are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. Now think about your own kids for a moment. You know, think about the time when they asked for something. Maybe they wanted a book to read. Or maybe they wanted a particular meal for dinner because they felt, you know, Mom will be really pleased if I ask for broccoli. Okay, I'm not sure if there would be kids who would ask for broccoli, but maybe that would really please your mom. The point is when your kids ask you for something that brings joy to you and pleases you, you are what? You're like, whoa, have two helpings of broccoli, okay? Anyway. So, and since we know that God hears us when we make a request, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. You see how when we ask for something God wants to give us, it's a perfect match. And Scripture is saying here that we will receive the thing we ask for because it is in our best interest, it is for the glory of God, and it is what He wants for us as well. So, in all things, in our day-to-day lives, I mean, all of us are not necessarily asking for food every day, not necessarily asking for a job or money because we have enough of that, but there are things that we ask for that are beyond that, that are, you know, different or unique. In order for us to pray according to God's will, we must look at what the Scripture says first and foremost in terms of how we approach Him. And the first verse I want to share is this. Okay? How do we know that we're praying according to God's will? First of all, we have to ask with the right motives. James chapter 4, verse 3, it says this. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. If you only want what will give you pleasure, you're asking with the wrong motives. again, just put yourself in a place of your kids. Okay? Can I have chocolate cake for dinner? It will give me great pleasure, Mom. Okay. The second one is, believe it or not, believe and not doubt. Excuse me. Believe and not doubt, or allow doubt to creep in. James chapter 1, James says this. Listen, we're talking to our Heavenly Father. James is saying, but when you ask Him, okay, when you talk to God, when you ask Him, okay, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You're standing in the middle of a field and you're just crying out, someone help me find my way home. I might go left, I might go right, I don't know, but somebody give me some direction. Or you're on the water and you can't see land. You know, God, cause the wind to drive me back to the land. But if you are out there and you don't know who you're talking to or who you're asking, your faith is like basically going nowhere. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. It's your relationship with Christ, believing in Him and not doubting. First of all, not doubting His love for you. Okay, the third thing is this. When we pray, again, these are all in the Bible. When we pray, we are told to pray. There's a bullet list for you, okay? We're to pray for our enemies. We're to pray that God would send laborers into the mission field. We're to pray that we don't enter into temptation. We're to pray for ministers of the word. We're to pray for government authorities. We're to pray for relief from affliction and healing for fellow believers. These are just a number of things that we are commanded to pray. We're to pray with the right motives. We're to pray without doubt. And we're to pray things that are commanded in the Bible. And we're supposed to pray with a spirit of forgiveness. Now, this can be real tricky. Because when someone hurts you and you don't feel like forgiving them, it's very easy to get caught up in this idea that forgiveness is tied to how you feel. Okay? But it's very confusing. Just like love. Love is not just a feeling. It is in part a feeling. But love is a decision. It's a choice. It's an act of your will. Forgiveness is the same thing. But I don't feel like forgiving them. Okay? Forgiveness is an act of the will. I choose to forgive this person and what they did to me. Okay? It's an act of the will. But here you go. Here's what Jesus said. Mark chapter 11. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Okay? That's biblical, right? Jesus said, you want your sins forgiven? You have to be willing to forgive other people. And our stumbling block as people is our feelings. We don't feel like forgiving. Okay? That's a stumbling block. You have to decide as a matter of will. It will please God if I forgive this person who has so hurt me and wronged me. Now remember, this whole idea of forgiveness is not the same as reconciliationship or trusting another person, because if somebody has stolen money from you, there's probably no reason to trust them again, at least for a time, until they prove themselves trustworthy. But you do have to forgive them, regardless of whether or not you feel like it. The spirit of bitterness and anger and revenge or hatred towards other people will prevent our hearts from praying with total submission to God. We are to pray with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says this, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. We can always find something to be thankful for, no matter how burdened we are by our wants or our needs. The greatest person, the greatest sufferer that lives in this world of redeeming love and who has the offer of heaven before him has something to be grateful for. You know what? If your life is a wreck and you have the promise of God's grace, you have the promise of eternal life, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, no matter what is going on in this world, you have at least one thing to be thankful for. I know who I have put my trust in, and I know where I'm going. We always have something to be thankful for. So, we're to pray with the right motives. We're to pray and not doubt, and that is not to doubt God's love. We're to pray about the things commanded in the Bible. We're to pray with a spirit of forgiveness. We're to pray with thanksgiving. And lastly, not only is it imperative that we pray in accordance with God's will, but it is vital that we live according to God's will. Now, last week we talked about this at length. Prayer is hindered by sin. If your relationship with God is broken, He is not hearing your prayers. If you have sin that you are coveting in your heart, Psalms 66:7-8. If you covet sin in your heart, God does not hear your prayers. Okay? So this is incredibly important. Now, that's unrepentant sin. That's not, because we all have sin, but that's coveting a sin in our life. 1 John 3:21-22, it spells this out plainly. Listen. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. And even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with boldness and we can receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that pleases Him. Again, think about your own kids. You know, one of your kids, very compliant, always does their chores, always does their homework, makes the bed in the morning. You don't have to tell them to brush your teeth 2 or 3 times. You don't have to tell them to put on deodorant if they're a junior hire. Okay? Okay. I'm just kidding. All right. You guys had junior hires? I don't know what it is about junior hires not liking deodorant. Anyway, the bottom line is when your kids are doing things to please you because you are mom and dad, because they want to honor you and respect you, okay? When we obey them, it makes God happy to answer our prayers. We're praying in accordance with His will. Okay, here's the bottom line. This is from page 26, okay? I'm plugging the book one more time, so be sure to get a copy, all right? Page 26, this is the bottom line. God delights in the prayers of His obedient children. When we want what God wants and live the way that He likes, then we will tend to pray prayers that God will answer in the way we expect. And God, in answering our prayers, is supporting what He approves. Were God to answer the prayers of the disobedient, He would be aiding and abetting what He does not approve. That would be out of character for God. Just like, again, your own children, they could care less. They don't obey you. They don't take out the trash. They don't do their chores. They don't do their homework. They don't do anything. And then they have the gall to ask you for $5 to go, you know, to the movie. And you're just like, what does this kid not understand? You want to just live your own way, ignore me, and you're going to ask me for good gifts? And the answer is, even as a human parent, we're going to say, you need to take a check, rain check on that. Get your act together, then I'm going to answer this request of yours. Listen, as we grow in our relationship with God, okay, this is the wonderful good news. As you get closer to Him, as you start asking according to His will, as you start living your life according to His will, He starts to answer your prayers. Okay. Now, this is the one particular topic that came to my mind, but I find it incredibly amazing. Not only will your desires be more in line with God's desires, but you will witness God answering prayers, which brings amazing joy and excitement and builds up your faith. I have In my short amount of time, I could not sit here and recount all the answers to prayer. But I've seen a lady who was sent home from the hospital, okay, terminal cancer and told weeks to live. And we just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And 3 or 4 months goes by and she's still around. In fact, she was in remission by that summer. And she was traveling with her family and friends the next year. Now, God's sovereignty and God's will, she got cancer about a year later and ended up dying. But it was incredible to see how God had spared her and gave her all that time with her family that she wouldn't have had otherwise. When I think about how God has put someone in my path and I start praying for them, you know, I care deeply for this person who's hurting, they're struggling, and they're lost without God, and they're just seeking. And to start praying for this person regularly, passionately, just have that burden for them in your heart. And then it happens. You get that phone call, totally unexpected. Or you get that conversation and you start to talk about life and faith. And all of a sudden, their questioning leads you to what? An opportunity to share with them God's love. Maybe God has given a serious trial or a health scare. But you know that God is answering prayer and working to get their attention whenever, out of nowhere, this conversation happens that you did not expect. Later, an opportunity comes, and maybe for the first time, you get to sit face to face with somebody, and you get to say, Jesus loves you. Your sin is separating you from Jesus. But He went to the cross to die for you so you could have a relationship with Him. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to live this life with no hope. And all of a sudden, in time, in God's time, the seeds that you have been praying and planting produce a saving faith. And the person that you've been praying for surrenders their life to Jesus. And then all at once, Jesus gives you this mental picture of every prayer, of every conversation, the time you met them, when it felt like there was no hope and they're turning their backs. And all of a sudden they're back. And also you just realize as you look back that it was God hearing and answering these prayers in His time and His way. By the grace of God, I have enjoyed seeing this story unfold a number of times. And it does nothing but give you excitement and passion about praying for other people and seeing God work miracles in your lives. And I believe in all my heart that the greatest miracle that we see on this earth isn't that someone is healed from cancer, is not that, you know, someone gets this fantastic promotion that they never would have expected. I really believe the greatest miracle that we still see today on this earth is when a soul has been saved. When a heart has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. I believe that is still something we see with our eyes, and it is glorious. Today, I don't know who all, I mean, I don't know all of you personally. Well, I know a lot of you personally, actually. But I wonder, is there anyone here today that is seeking to know God? You really want to know Him. And God has put it on your heart. He's drawing you. He's wooing you. We were talking in Bible study this morning that God, it's a drawing. The Holy Spirit is courting you. He's encouraging you. He's correcting you. And He's saying, come to Me. The Holy Spirit is on this earth drawing men and women to Himself, convicting them of sin and encouraging them to yield and surrender. So are you here today ready to take that first step? The elders are going to come forward. We're going to have a little bit different ending to our prayer service. Keith is going to lead us in some prayer exercises with the prayer board over here. But elders are going to come forward. And if when we sing this closing song, if you need prayer for anything, come forward. The elders would love to pray with you. And second of all, if you are today's the day. If you're ready to say, I am ready to surrender my life to Christ, and you're ready to take that first step, as we stand and sing, come forward and pray with the elders. Okay. I'm going to close in prayer now, and then we're going to stand and sing. I think. Where's Rick at? Oh, we're not singing, okay? All right? Wait a minute, I'll sing. No, just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Let's pray. Lord, it's so good to worship you. It is so good to be adopted into your family and to be one of your children. Lord, I pray that every one of us, first and foremost, would yield and surrender ourselves to you fully right now. We would say, Lord, have your way with my life. If we've been distant and separated from you because of our choices, I pray that you draw us to you. For the one or many that might be here today that have never yielded to you, I pray that you are wooing them and drawing them and filling them, Lord, with desire to know you. I pray that they would take that step today. Lord, and I pray that as we pray to end this service, that on these little prayer cards, everyone would simply say, I need you, Lord, and they would write some kind of need on that card and trust you for it. Please bring glory, Jesus, to yourself by hearing us and answering us. Thank you for saving us and allowing us to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.